Like icebergs with mushrooms and toadstools, there's a lot more going on beneath the surface than above. So now here on Radio 4, as part of our series Fungi, the Fifth Kingdom, we join Lynn Boddy of Cardiff University as she delves into the leaf litter to find out exactly what lies beneath in the underground and fascinating world of fungi.
Here we are in the woods then. This is a bit of a fallen oak branch. And if we just move the leaf litter away carefully and then let's roll the branch over, I bet you we'll find cord-forming fungi beneath. Here we go. Can you see? Look. Growing out from this great big branch. Cords there growing into the soil. In this case, it's not just growing in this great big piece of wood. Look, it's connecting with this tiny twig. And then further over here, you've got little bits of buds left, the tiny bits of leaf litter which are being colonised by this particular species as well. And if we had patience, we could follow this system on probably for very many metres into the soil. I'm Lynn Boddy, Professor of Mycology at Cardiff University, and I work on fungi, the ecology of fungi particularly. I've worked on fungi for about 30 years now. I started working on fungi for my PhD. In fact, I was working on wood decomposition, looking at how much wood falls in terrestrial systems and how rapidly it turns over. And very soon, I realised that we need to know about the fungi that are involved in wood decomposition. It's the fungi that do the recycling, so we really need to know exactly what they're doing and how quickly they do it. Fungi really are crucially important in woodland ecosystems and indeed in almost all terrestrial ecosystems because they are the main agents of recycling and decomposition. So if you like, they're the garbage disposal agents of the natural world. And if it weren't for fungi, then probably we'd be up to our armpits in leaf litter. We investigate these things in two main ways, really, I guess. Firstly, we would look and see what is happening in the field. And secondly, we would experiment with fungi in the laboratory. And very often we work in little soil microcosms. So we would bring in soil directly from the woodlands and compress it into trays and then watch how the fungi grow on those trays of soil and manipulate them. We might change, for example, the temperature or the water content or what resources are available for the fungus. So what we're looking at here in the lab are trays of compressed soil, and we've added to them blocks of wood which are colonised by what we call cord-forming fungi. These cord-forming fungi actually grow out from their woody resource in search of new resources, and their individual hyphae, that's the main body of the fungus, actually aggregate together to form these thick linear organs called cords. So as I say, they grow out in search of new resources, they will absorb water and mineral nutrients from soil, and more particularly they will find new lumps of wood or stumps or twigs and leaf litter which they will then colonise. They colonise them, start to decompose them, and they can shift the resources that they found back to the original food base or out to other parts of the system where they are searching yet again for new resources. Well, they're quite intriguing, and in many ways you can analogise their behaviour to humans. They fight with each other in quite dramatic ways, and they also search for new resources, and when they find those new resources they set up communication systems between the new resources. Again, a bit like a general might set up his system on the battlefield with communications here, there and everywhere and supply routes. On this particular tray, you can see we've got two blocks of wood and they're colonised by different fungi. This one here is colonised by the stinkhorn fungus, Phallus impudicus. So it does have an English name and a scientific name, and so does this one here. This other one is the sulphur tuft fungus, Hypholoma fasciculari. So we've got these two wood blocks, the mycelium of both have grown out, and the mycelium has met on the surface of the soil, and They're interacting, they're engaged in a battle. You can see that neither species has really won the battle, but Phallus impudicus has managed to overgrow the sulphur tuft fungus and is just making contact with the wood block which contains the sulphur tuft fungus, and may well then interact with that fungus in the wood blocks, and the battle will then carry on. And the outcome might be different in the wood block. It may be that the stinkhorn fungus will actually win that battle. The outcome of the battles isn't always the same, even under similar conditions. So, for example, in this other system over here, we've got a totally opposite situation occurring. So there's obviously a very delicate balance in these battles. And you can see that this time the fungus that is being attacked has responded dramatically by producing masses and masses of white tufts of mycelium. This is presumably a defensive response. How well the defensive response works is a different matter. But there's a sort of a hierarchy of combative ability, and it's a bit like a sports league, so that you might know that you've got your favourite football team at the top of the table and beats almost all of the other teams all of the time. So you have some fungi which are like that, really great combatants, and lots of these cord-forming fungi are like that. And then you have your teams which are lower down the division which win occasionally, so you have some fungi which are like that. Equally well, you have your football teams or your sports teams which do better under certain conditions. So maybe some football teams play better on a soggy pitch. Well, equally well, there are some fungi which do better under very wet conditions or very dry conditions. Fungal aggressive interactions occur in a variety of ways. Fungi can recognise each other at a distance, and they can produce chemicals which diffuse into whatever it is that they're growing on, which can affect an opponent. They can also produce volatile chemicals, which can affect an opponent by moving through the air. And they also have aggressive interactions when the mycelia actually come into contact. Again, this can be chemical, or it can even be parasitism sometimes, so that you can get coiling around a hypha by another one, and then the one hypha will penetrate into the other and use the contents of that fungal hypha. Different fungi decompose wood and other resources at different rates, and if the battle, so to speak, was always won by a slow decomposer, then wood decomposition would begin to occur much more slowly.
Oh my goodness me.
Well,
now this is a mycelial cord. That's got to be 2 or 2.5 or maybe 3 millimetres across, hasn't it? And look how strong and springy that is. And we can trace this easily in soil. This is going to be a big system. Already we've exposed 30 centimetres of it. And carrying on further back, this will be huge. This will be many, many metres in extent. I think that this is one of the cords of the stinkhorn fungus, Phallus impudicus. So I like to think of these as being mycological motorways. You can imagine nutrients shooting along in these mycelial cords. And in studies in the lab, we've shown that things like phosphorus, mineral nutrients like phosphorus, move at, well, I don't know, half a metre an hour, something like that. So you can imagine nutrients really literally shooting around the woodland floor, being moved from place to place. Now look, We've actually found the end of one of these. Look how branched it is and how fine those tips are. Those fine tips there, they will be able to absorb nutrients and water from the soil, which will then perhaps be translocated back along the length of this cord, maybe to the piece of wood which it's growing out of. But if you see that the main part of this cord, it's got a really thick rind on the outside, that's preventing either water and nutrients getting in or out. So it's a bit like a drain pipe in some ways, I guess. It's insulated from the rest of the world. And look how this cord here is growing out of this piece of very rotten wood. And we could probably map this system. We'd find that it was connecting to all sorts of pieces of wood hither and thither about the forest floor. Oh, there, look again. That's another cord on this other piece of wood, so that'd be part of this same system. So we have a huge fungal individual here. There are only some fungi which are able to form these huge systems. The vast majority are restricted to the resource that we find them in. The only way they will get out and colonise new resources is to produce fruit bodies, which will deposit their spores, which will be blown away in the wind, probably most commonly, and land upon other twigs and colonise in that way. So there are two main ways that fungi can find new resources. One is as spores, and two is by producing mycelial cords. But the vast majority are unable to produce mycelial cords, although those that do are very dramatic and have a very important role in decomposition in woodlands. What I've shown you so far are wood rotters interacting with other wood rotters. But of course, because these wood rotting cord systems grow on the surface of soil beneath the litter, they are in the same sort of region as you find plant roots, and hence as you find the mycorrhizal fungi. Quite a lot of fungi actively join together with plants in a mutualistic association called mycorrhiza. Mycorrhiza literally means fungus root. So the fungi are attached to the roots, go around the roots, and in many cases actually within the roots. And it's the fungi which obtain water from the soil for plants, and indeed nutrients for the plants to grow. And as a swap for this, the plant provides the fungus with sugars, which it has fixed during photosynthesis. So it's a real mutualistic relationship. So when you look around and you see a tree, you think, oh, that's a tree. But what you really should think, oh, that's a tree plus a fungus. Because in nature, there are probably no trees that are growing alone without these mutualistic symbiotic partners. You only get these fungi on the very fine roots, because it's the fine roots which are the absorptive organs for the plant, so not the great big thick woody roots. Aha. Right, look, now, here I've excavated some roots from this beech tree that's about 3 or 4 metres away from us. But what you can see is these are mycorrhizal roots here. The little side branches are very thick. If we find some roots that are not mycorrhizal, they don't look quite the same, so when you have this mycorrhizal association with a fungus and root, the fungus often changes the morphology of the root, and these little rootlets are often much longer lived than they are if they're not colonised by the fungi. Every time you take a walk in the woods, think a little bit differently than you have before. Start to look at fallen pieces of wood. Gently remove the litter layer. If you happen to be by a log, gently roll the log over, and you'll start to see very easily these mycelial cords which ramify throughout the soil. They are the business part of the fungus. Don't think plant on its own. Think plant plus fungus is what keeps the ecosystems of the world going.
Fungi, the Fifth Kingdom, was produced in Bristol by Sheena Duncan of the BBC Natural History Unit.
30 years ago, I was busking around Europe with my bagpipes. One day I was hitchhiking with a Belgian lorry driver, and the radio announced that the singer Jack Brel had died. Before long,